Hey everyone, welcome to Edge of Wonder. Did you hear that Elon Musk claimed almost every conspiracy theory that people had about Twitter turned out to be true?
Also, a new batch of Twitter files came out, this time about certain doctors and experts who were censored because they had a different take on COVID from what the official stance was.
Then a Russian government official tweeted his prophecies about the fall of the United States for 2023, inspiring trolls, one of whom turned out to be none other than Elon Musk himself.
Yeah, however, the media doesn't seem to understand sarcasm, especially from Elon. They also seem to believe that he thinks he could be president of the United States of America someday.
But what truths are falling through the cracks? Well, join us for an Edge of Wonder Live all about the ridiculous things on Twitter and in the media that you didn't know were happening. And we'll see you out
on the edge of Mercury.
See, you know, that's what Mercury retrograde do to you, Ben.
That's it.
Lindsay's just not having it. Like, I am Mercury retrograde.
See, Ben. Rob, Ben. Believe it. And there it is. I said Mercury retrograde.
She had the Mercury retrograde button ready for you to start talking.
Communication usually starts falling apart at some point. So there it is right there.
Okay. Well, good to know everything's going smoothly on Edge of Wonder so far tonight.
Oh, anyway, I didn't even know it was Mercury at retrograde until
I didn't know that either, but my night got a lot better when I found out it was
or worse, depending how you look at it. So anyway, hope everyone had a good Christmas,
a safe and positive holiday experience. Yeah, it was good. It was freezing over here. How was your Christmas, Ben?
Yeah, it was good. It was cold here. I mean, not nearly as cold as where you guys are, but yeah, it was still really cold. And, but yeah, it was good. Just my family.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Did you guys, drink some pina coladas by your pool or something, or was it too cold for that?
Actually I did buy my dad like a 15-year-old bottle of rum because that was what he wanted. So
did you guys tear into that? And
he hasn't yet, so I think he wanted to tonight, actually.
You know, if he turns into a pirate, it'll be real rum. That's how you know.
That's, yeah, we'll see. I'll definitely get photos if that happens. So all right, well, we got a lot going on with the Twitter files, lots of drops with this.
Yeah. Wow, that's Ben's dad after he drank rum. What is it? How many year old bottle of rum?
I'm not even sure.
How many years, Ben?
For how many years what?
The rum.
Oh, 15, actually.
Oh, one. Okay, 15.
Yeah, not 50. No, I don't even know if they make 50. But
they should.
That would probably taste like stale barrel.
Probably taste like stale pirates. Stale pirates. Well, all right. So the Twitter COVID files, it's starting to get into COVID now, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. So these came out on Twitter yesterday, actually. And it's just, I think what's blowing me away is the fact how the media is just not
silent?
Yeah, wanting to talk about this, or if now that they kind of are, it's like they're not covering this. What they're saying is that they're blaming the people or whatever, you know, and instead of going after legit what's happening in the news,
right,
what these are talking about. I'm trying not to say the CIA, the FBI here. But it's like that's who's mentioned in these tweets
you just did.
and instead of like saying like, why was the FBI doing this? They're like, oh, basically blaming the people for being on Twitter and reading it. But we're gonna go into that a little bit later. But first, yeah, let's go into these this Twitter thread, because this, you know, on the surface, you know, it can be like, okay, what's the big deal? Like, all these Twitter file things are coming out, you know, Elon's really dropping these. And I think the main thing is the fact that how Twitter was being used as an agenda for these alphabet agencies. Like, they were literally paying money to steer how, and how they wanted it framed and everything. And
which basically translates into Twitter just being a pay for play PR tool for the, you know, the powers that be.
That's exactly it. And you know, that's why.
But the thing is, though,
we've been talking about this for a long time.
The thing is, we all know that already. We all knew that already. But the Twitter files are giving us evidence of it. And so, you know, it's interesting to talk about.
Yeah, it is. But all right, Rob, do you want to get into this? You want to read this first?
Yeah. One? Okay. So here's the thread. David Zweig. Is that his name? Zweig?
I think so. I'm not 100% sure. Sorry okay. for butchering that last name.
I can't read the tweet if you're hovering over that. There you go. Okay. Number one, thread. The Twitter files. How Twitter rigged the COVID debate. Okay. One, by censoring info that was true but inconvenient to U.S. government policy. By discrediting doctors and other experts who disagreed. By suppressing ordinary users, including some sharing the CDC's own data.
This is the thing that drives me crazy here. So, okay, number two. So far, the Twitter files have focused on evidence of Twitter's secret blacklists, how the company functioned as a kind of subsidiary of the FBI, which this is big right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how execs rewrote the platform's rules to accommodate their own political desires.
Okay, so what we have yet to cover is COVID. This reporting for the Free Press is one piece of that important story.
The United States government, this is number four. United States government pressured Twitter and other social media platforms to elevate certain content and suppress other content about COVID-19.
In the internal files at Twitter that I viewed while on assignment for the FP showed that both the Trump and Biden administrations directly pressed Twitter executives to moderate the platform's pandemic content according to their wishes.
At the outset of the pandemic, according to the meeting notes, the Trump admin was especially concerned about panic buying. I'm not really sure what that means, panic buying. They came looking for help from the tech companies to combat misinformation about runs on grocery stores. But there were runs on grocery stores.
What does that
panic
mean?
Buying from the people out there. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So in other words,
they were concerned about going out panic buying when
buying, you know, 50,000 rolls of toilet paper instead of like, you know, two.
Yeah. Yeah. Why were they buying toilet paper? That was bizarre. Yeah. Okay. So this says the Trump White House, specifically Michael Kratsios, led the Trump's administration's call for help from the tech companies to combat misinformation. Areas of focus included conspiracies around 5G cell towers, runs in grocery stores, and misinformation that could stoke panic buying and behaviors. Coverage here. Remember that time when everybody was really concerned 5G cell towers were going to make COVID a lot worse and stuff?
Oh, you remember that, right? Yeah, I do remember that. That's what's so weird. Misinformation, specific focus on conspiracies around 5G cell towers. I mean, that's just weird to me. Like, why?
I remember that stuff getting spread, but I also didn't really think that it was that widespread like that. You know what I mean?
Well, there was a lot of people talking about it. There really was.
Mm.
But I think the other thing that was really interesting and one of the points that we brought up in our COVID series was that when you looked at the Huawei 5G cell towers and COVID outbreak during that time in the early days, there was a direct correlation there. It was like a lot of people that were getting COVID in the high areas had the Huawei 5G cell towers. Mm. I remember specifically it was like Italy and then Canada was another place certain areas, certain cities.
I remember that, yeah.
In Canada and certain other areas around the world. So, all right, number seven here. It wasn't just Twitter. The meetings with Trump White House were also attended by Google, Facebook, Microsoft, and others. And there's a screenshot here. Twitter, alongside several other tech companies, including Google, Facebook, and Microsoft, participated. Activities included a standing weekly call to share general trends and hosting a shared Microsoft Teams group. Some of the companies, not Twitter, gathered open source information from researchers. Our teams fed this information to the Twitter policy enforcement teams. Now, what's really interesting is I remember that they were, after Biden got in, they were holding these weekly calls, and it was like media that was also attending. It was like a secret meeting that some of the media, like New York Times, CNN, the big names, along with these tech companies and some of Biden's team, all participated in. And it turned out to be 100% true that that actually happened. And it was like totally closed off to the public. So again, it's like, what were they meeting about? And that this might've been right before, I think it was right after the election. So, okay, go ahead.
Number eight. When the Biden admin took over, one of their first meeting requests with Twitter executives was on COVID. The focus was on anti-vaxxer accounts, especially Alex Berenson. Biden, here it is, the screenshot says, Biden, one of the first meeting requests from the Biden White House was about COVID misinformation. Per regular process, public policy took the meeting. Biden staff focused on vaccines and high-profile anti-vaxxer accounts, including Alex Berenson.
I'm not 100% sure. I looked him up earlier, and I can't remember who he is. He was a American writer who was a reporter for the New York Times and authored several thrillers.
They're really suppressing, censoring that guy.
Mm-hmm. All right, number nine here. In the summer of 2021, President Biden said social media companies were killing people for allowing vaccine misinformation. Berenson was suspended hours after Biden's comments and kicked off the platform the following month.
Okay, so Berenson sued and then settled with Twitter. In the legal process, Twitter was compelled to release certain internal communications which showed direct White House pressure on the company to take action on Berenson. Overall, pretty good. So this is like some documents from that trial, I guess.
I think it's an email exchange, maybe.
It's some type of
slow. It's a Slack chat.
Some type of chat. Channel. Okay.
So there's a reply here from someone whose name is blacked out, and it says overall pretty good. They had one really tough question about why Alex Berenson hasn't been kicked off from the platform. Otherwise, their questions were pointed but fair, and mercifully, we had answers.
That is crazy. This guy won a I don't know what this is, but it's an Edgar Award. For writing, and he was
Kevin and DX here says that he's been on Tucker a lot.
Yeah, I think he has now. I mean, he is really interesting that he was he wrote for the New York Times too. I mean, that's a reporter actually for the New York Times. So very interesting stuff there. All right, number 11. A December 2022 summary of meetings with the White House by Lauren Clubberson, Twitter's head of U.S. policy, public policy, adds new evidence of the White House pressure campaign and cements that it repeatedly attempted to directly influence the platform.
So number 12, Culbertson wrote that the Biden team was very angry that Twitter had not been more aggressive in deplatforming multiple accounts. They wanted Twitter to do more. Okay, yeah, just keep going. Number 13.
Number 13. Twitter executives did not fully
capitulate
to the Biden's team's wishes. At an extensive review of internal communications at the company revealed employees often debating moderation cases in great detail and with more care than was shown by the government toward free speech. Yeah, because realistically, it's like, well, okay, this person doesn't align with your views, but it's like, does that give grounds to censor this person? If they're just kind of like, if someone's like, hey, I'm against the vaccine, and you're like, well, that's misinformation, we're going to delete them. You know, it doesn't make any sense. Or if someone's like, hey, I'm a doctor, this is why I'm against the vaccine, it still doesn't, it still shouldn't give grounds for it. So it's super crazy.
Okay, so are we going to number 15?
Yeah.
Okay. 14, but Twitter did suppress views, many from doctors and scientific experts, that conflicted with the official positions of the White House. As a result, legitimate findings and questions that would have expanded the public debate went missing.
Number 15, there were three serious problems with Twitter's process. First, much of the content moderation was conducted by bots trained on machine learning AI, impressive in their engineering, yet still too crude for such nuanced work.
Number 16, second, contractors in places like the Philippines also moderated content. They were given decision trees to aid in the process, but tasking non-experts to adjudicate tweets on complex topics like myocarditis and mask efficacy data was destined for a significant error rate. This guy's an epic tweeter.
Oh man. What does this say exactly? I can't really read it.
The COVID-19 misleading information policy has been discontinued effective November 23rd.
Wow, that's crazy. All right, let's move on to number 17. Third, most importantly, the buck stopped with higher level employees at Twitter who chose the inputs for the bots and decision trees and subjectively decided escalated cases and suspensions. As it is with all people and institutions, there was individual and collective bias.
Okay, number 18. With COVID, this bias bent heavily toward establishment dogmas.
And the next one says, inevitably, dissident yet legitimate content.
Dissident? Okay, yeah, interesting.
Yeah,
should it be dissent?
Oh, see, that's what I... Dissent? Dissident? Well, he wrote dissident, yet legitimate content was labeled as misinformation. And the accounts of doctors and others were suspended both for tweeting opinions and demonstratively true information. That's what I was saying earlier. It's like, hey, I'm a doctor. I'm just tweeting my opinion about this. And then here's like factual information to back up what I'm saying. And they're labeling that as misinformation, which is like really wrong.
Number 20, exhibit A, Dr. Martin Kulldorff, an epidemiologist, thank you, at Harvard Medical School, tweeted views at odds with U.S. public health authorities and the American left, the political affiliation of nearly the entire staff at Twitter.
So this guy is now back on Twitter, and he's been really talking about what's been going on with him since he got like suspended in the media and all this stuff. And he's like, look, I have like, he's basically tweeting out, like, I have everything to back up, you know, all the stuff that I've been saying. So, somebody tweeted him out trying to call him out saying like, he basically doesn't know what he's talking about. And then he's like, no, thinking that everyone must be vaccinated is as scientifically flawed as thinking that Nobody should. COVID vaccines are important for older, high-risk people and their caretakers. Those with prior natural infection do not need it, nor children. And that has been the argument. It's like, well, if you already had COVID, you don't need the vaccine because your body already has the the antibodies that you developed. And that was even when it was going on and my mom went to the doctor, they told her that directly. They're like, if you already have COVID, you know, don't worry about getting the vaccine because.
Yeah. What's the point?
And they could actually be fighting against each other, you know, and a lot of doctors were pointing this out on Twitter and a lot of these guys were being deleted. And ultimately I think it really comes back down to money, but we'll get into that after we read this. Go ahead, Rob. You can read the next one. Number 21.
There we go. So 21, internal emails show an intent to action by a moderator saying Kulldorff's tweet violated the company's COVID-19 misinformation policy and claimed he shared a false information, quote unquote.
Yeah. All right, team, sending a heads up that we'll take action on Martin Kulldorff, a professor of Harvard Medical School.
Yeah, what? Who are you to say he's lying? Like, that doesn't make any sense, you know?
He's a professor at Harvard Medical School, and it's like we're discrediting because he's not part of the science. Like, this guy is as science as you get. And yet they just don't want him talking.
He is actually a doctor.
Yeah. He's not only that, he teaches medical school. Like, this is insane. Oh, this is why we didn't hear anybody from the other side, because everybody was censored during that time. Everyone was like, well, trust the science. And I'm like, well, I am trusting the science. I'm just looking at science from both sides. But those, you know, even the people that are credible are getting censored. So, all right.
Hey guys, you want to do a trailer and then we'll keep going with these?
Yeah, let's do that. And we'll keep going back into this. Sounds good. Thanks, Lindsay.
I didn't want to go public without evidence because I knew no one would believe me. The entire incident happened about 5 to 6 minutes in total. And my mom shouts really loud, "Oh my God, what is that? What is that?" At no point did the two men in black or the Air Force gentleman ask my mother or her friends what did they see. They looked human, but they did weird things. The men in black, they said, "You will report it as a helicopter crash, or we will take your son away." The men in black play the narrative and the media outlets skew it back out. This was 1991, Project Mockingbird in full effect.
That was a cool interview.
Yeah, it was. You can see that on our platform, rise.tv. So, yeah, amazing interview. Really is.
His name's Robert Earl White, right?
Yeah, it is.
He's sort of like the UFO version of James Earl Jones.
Yeah.
He was a cool guy.
It's cool.
All right. Yeah. Number 21. Is this?
No, we just read this one.
Number 22.
22.
It's your turn, right?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. But Kulldorff's statement was an expert's opinion, one which also happened to be in line with vaccine policies in numerous other countries. Yet it was deemed false information by Twitter moderators merely because it differed from the CDC guidelines. That's what sucks.
Number 23, after Twitter took action, Kulldorff's tweet was slapped with a misleading label and all replies and likes were shut off, throttling the tweet's ability to be seen and shared by many people, the ostensible core function of the platform. Misleading.
Horrible. Horrible, horrible. All right, number 24 here. In my, and this is David saying this, in my review of internal files, I found countless instances of tweets labeled as quote unquote misleading or taken down entirely, sometimes triggering account suspensions simply because they veered from CDC guidance or differed from establishment views.
What an excellent example. Oh, this is a 25, a tweet by Kelly KGA, a self-proclaimed public health fact checker with 18K followers, was flagged as misleading and replies and likes disabled, even though it displayed the CDC's own data.
This is ridiculous.
And so the tweet that got censored here, I'm going to read it to you. It says, what an excellent example of cherry picking. If you narrow it down to only the specific months you specify, which include the largest COVID wave seen across the world, and you ignore all non-disease deaths, and you ignore cancer, heart disease, SIDS, then COVID is leading.
Interesting.
So it was like way behind, like you had to ignore all of those others.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the CDC's own data.
That was officially the CDC's own data, and it said misleading. Number 26, internal records showed that a bot had flagged the tweet, and then it received many tattles. That's what the system amusingly called reports from users that triggered a manual review by a human who, despite the tweet showing actual CDC data, nevertheless labeled it as misleading. So it still went through human eyes and they still called it misleading.
Okay, so tellingly, the tweet by Kelly KGA that was labeled misleading was a reply to a tweet that contained actual misinformation. COVID has never been the leading cause of death from disease in children, yet that tweet remains on the platform and without a misleading label.
This is big right here. Like, this is really, really big, because a lot of people who are trying to spread the truth are getting attacked by, you know.
Yeah, it's like, I almost feel like even these Twitter files in this particular case are being overly generous into giving Twitter, like, more, I don't know, more like of the benefit of the doubt than it deserves for what's actually going on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because I mean, look, if Elon knows all the stuff that's going on, I mean, they're releasing this, but I mean, they could release this in such a different kind of way.
Yeah. Like a less balanced way, like more just like directly attacking the left way. Because there's no other way to look at this, really, you know, like.
I know. It's like we're trying to be fair and balanced, although he did call out Fauci very directly, which
he
shocked us all. But it's, you know, he would never say anything like that if he didn't have 100% proof to back up that tweet. So,
okay, next.
All right, number 28 here. 28. Whether by humans or algorithms, content that was contrarian but true was still subject to getting flagged or suppressed. This tweet was labeled quote unquote misleading, even though the owner of this account, a physician, was referring to the results of a published study.
Okay, so it says below, the first study I have seen showing that mRNA vaccines in young people aged 16 to 39 are associated with cardiac arrests, not just myocarditis. So this line graph is clearly showing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a little thing you see at the bottom. It says misleading. Learn why health officials consider COVID-19 vaccines safe for most people.
Yeah. And the thing about all of these, like, quote unquote, fact-checking aspects, they don't state why this is, like, you know, here's why this particular graph is wrong or whatever. They're just like, oh, well, this isn't right. Go to the CDC's website for, like, more information and up to date info. That's, like, basically all they ever talk about.
Mm.
All right. You want to read 29?
Sure. 29. Andrew Bostom, a Rhode Island physician, was permanently suspended from Twitter after receiving multiple strikes for misinformation. One of his strikes was for a tweet referring to the results from a peer-reviewed study on mRNA vaccines. Okay, and here it is. It says, primary COVID-19 BNT162B mRNA vaccination temporarily impairs semen concentration and total, does that say modal? Motile count among semen donors with apparent rebound by 5 MOS.
I think he's saying 5 months there.
5 months, thank you. Mm-hmm. But no data on boostering effect. Does boostering yield another decline followed by? And yeah, so it's just, this is interesting. Like, this is like a, like he said, like a peer review study.
Right. And it's
flat. Why would that not be allowed to go up? That is bizarre. Like, yeah. Whose gun was to whose head?
Or whose money in whose pocket?
That's, or yeah,
really the big question. Yeah.
So the study was talking about fertility issues.
Right. Mm-hmm. With men, clearly. Mm-hmm. Okay, next.
All right, number 30. A review of Twitter log files revealed that an internal audit conducted after Bostom's attorney contacted Twitter found that only one of Boston's 5 violations were valid. So this email is just basically going and saying this, like, we've conducted the study and found that, you know, yeah, there was really not much going on there in the violation.
I seriously doubt one of them was even invalid.
Like, yeah. And that one could have just been like a, here's my opinion about something. Might then, not like, be.
Should 100%. Be able to share their opinions.
That, and, but that's just it. I mean, if you deleted every single tweet that someone put opinion on that was wrong, I mean, half of Twitter would be taken down.
You shouldn't be allowed to. I mean, it's like, if you went into Times Square and just started saying crazy things on a soapbox, no one cares.
Right.
You know, like, and right. That's not even crazy. That's just saying your opinion.
Mm-hmm. Man, this merely makes me wonder how much money the media got.
Or what was it? Blackmail? What was it? I mean, really? Yeah. I don't get it. Anyway, number 31. Is this my turn?
Yep.
Okay, the one Bostom tweet found to still be in violation cited data that was legitimate but inconvenient to the public health establishment's narrative about the risks of flu versus COVID in children. So here's the tweet from Andrew Bostom. It says, U.S. and local Rhode Island data, influenza is more lethal than COVID-19 in children, while COVID-19 vaccine causes serious morbidity than influenza vaccination in children. And then he's got proof to back it up.
Right. Yeah.
It's not just him saying that, like.
Mm-hmm. So number 32 here says, this tweet was not only flagged by a bot, but it's in violation, manually affirmed by a staff member, is telling of both the algorithmic and human bias at play. Bostom's account was suspended for months and was finally restored on Christmas Day.
Yesterday. Another example of human bias run amok was the reaction to this tweet by Trump. Many Trump tweets led to extensive internal debates, and this one was no different. Donald Trump said on October 5th, 2020, I will be leaving the great Walter Reed Medical Center today at 6:30 p.m. feeling really good. Don't be afraid of COVID. Don't let it dominate your life. We have developed under the Trump administration some really great drugs and knowledge. I feel better than I did 20 years ago. Just saying he felt better after getting COVID, because that was around the time he got COVID, right?
Don't be afraid, you know? And this proves to me, the fact that they want to censor this, that is exactly what they were preying on. And, you know, all the conspiracy theories out there about, you know, the, like, you have Rockefeller and Kissinger saying that they need to feed, like, fear is what makes the, you know, if you can get people afraid, they'll start listening to you and you can basically control them.
David could have used a lot of other words other than surreal. He was being very nice here. You should read this. Go ahead.
Yeah. And a surreal exchange. Jim Baker at the time, Twitter's deputy general, who is the FBI. They found out that he was a former FBI guy, asks why telling people to not be afraid wasn't a violation of Twitter's COVID misinformation policy.
So he's asking why telling people to not be afraid wasn't a violation of Twitter's COVID-19 misinformation policy. Mm-hmm. Like just simply like being positive and being like, hey, don't be afraid of COVID. Like we got this. We're going to be able to take care of this. That was a violation of Twitter's COVID policy. Like what?
Yeah. Crazy.
Okay, so number 35, Yoel Roth, he's been coming up a lot. Twitter's former head of trust and safety had to explain that optimism wasn't misinformation. Okay, so here's that message. Yoel and Stasia, so the question was, why isn't this a violation? So, hey, Jim, this is Yoel replying. Adding you to the main thread on the subject, in short, this tweet is a broad optimistic statement. It doesn't incite people to do something harmful, nor does it recommend against taking precautions or following mask directives or other guidelines. It doesn't fall within the published scope of our policies. Curious whether you have a different read on it, though. Yeah, no, he definitely had a different read on it coming from the FBI's policies, apparently.
Yeah, it's so weird. Because he's saying, why isn't this tweet from
how is, but a violation? But the crazier question here is, how is the FBI getting involved in a social in a public or private social media platform not considered treason? I'm like, serious question here. I don't understand.
That's... Elon has basically been saying the same thing without really directly saying that. But, you know, he said everybody involved should be taken to court and, you know, asked why. Like, why? How were you able to do this? Why were you able to do this? You know, who really was, like, overseeing this and how high does this go? So, all right. Number 36. Kelly KGA with the CDC data tweet. Oh, I'm sorry. Remember Kelly KGA with the CDC data tweet? Twitter's response to her is clarifying. Quote, we will prioritize review and labeling of content that could lead to increased exposure of or transmission. And there's a really long email here that we don't have to read, but it's basically...
Okay, Number 37, Twitter made a decision via the political leanings of senior staff and government pressure that the public health authority's approach to the pandemic, prioritizing mitigation over other concerns, was the science. Okay.
Yeah. Number 38. Information that challenged that view, such as showing harms of vaccines or that could be perceived as downplaying the risks of COVID, especially to children, was subject to moderation and even suppression, no matter whether such views were correct or adopted abroad.
39, what might this pandemic and its aftermath have looked like if there had been a more open debate on Twitter and other social media platforms, not to mention the mainstream press, about the origins of COVID, about lockdowns, about the true risk of COVID in kids, and much more?
Number 40 here says, thanks to Schellenberger MD and a couple other people and the team at the FP, for their help reporting the story. Oh, he was just saying, okay, that's wrapping it all up. And he's just like thanking everybody for helping.
Well, he's got an expanded version of this thread. So he's tweeted something else. So I guess there is a article here, which expands on everything on how Twitter rigged the COVID debate. That's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
Not at all surprised, but you know, at least it's coming out.
Yeah. Well, why don't we play one more trailer, and then when we get back, we'll talk more about the some other people who seem to be involved in what's going on with all of this and how the media has been responding to this.
Sounds good.
A lone banshee shrieks in the night. A quiet brownie darts out of sight. strange beings abound that are hard to assess. Sea trolls, kelpies, and more haunt Loch Ness. Legends tell of other beasts besides Nessie, hiding in the lochs of Scotland. From mysterious creature sightings to local folktales, a hidden world lies beneath the waves and even on shore. Join Edge of Wonder for a deep dive into the cryptids of the abyss.
Yeah. So again, you guys, you can find all of that series on our rise.tv platform.
The funny thing about that trailer is the only thing more elusive than cryptids is justice in the world right now.
Yeah, seriously. Speaking of justice, why don't we go to this next tweet that I found. So I think his name is Rishi Sunak. Yeah, he's the Prime Minister of the UK anyway. So he didn't tweet this, but it's talking about him directly. Rishi Sunak was a founding partner of Thelema. It looks like Thelema to me. So
Thelema Partners.
Like, why would you call it Thelema?
That's so close to Thelema.
Yeah. So they were a major investor, roughly 300 million or 380 million euros.
Was that euros?
Yeah. So that would be
pounds.
That's pounds. Yeah.
So that would be over like $430 million in the US. And Moderna, who signed a 5-year deal with AstraZeneca in 2013 to discover, develop, and commercialize mRNA. Sunak was the executive running the U.S. office. Are you beginning to see the big picture? And again, he is the Prime Minister of the U.K.
I bet if you shaved his head, he would look exactly like an Indian version of Aleister Crowley.
maybe so that, okay, 356 million. Okay, I was off by a couple hundred or a couple
wow, 456, that's almost 457 million.
Yeah. So and then the Guardian had an article saying that he refused to say, they asked him directly, are you profiting from the Moderna COVID vaccine? And he refused to answer the question. So this got exposed. So he's definitely one politician who has money invested and is receiving returns in some of these vaccine companies. This is what I really want to know. We have suspicion that Fauci is as well, because through COVID, he somehow got $10 million into a new account that he owned. And
that
should just
be illegal.
This seems that this should be illegal to me as well. And I guarantee you almost all of them did this, especially if they all got wind like, oh, hey, this is going to come out. We'll push this vaccine. If we all put a bunch of money into this thing, push this thing like crazy, we'll have the taxpayers' dollars actually paying for it. So it won't be out of pocket of the citizens or are out of pocket for the government. That's like they're actually just making all this money. So of course, there's a lot of interest in silencing, censoring, and pushing these vaccines. If the more that people that get them, the more money that all these people are making. And this is proof right here that, you know, so the question comes down to, how much do you really trust your politicians? You know, and the media.
Yeah.
That's really, I would say, what it comes down to. By the way, he's also the one being promoted by the WEF because he's trying to do the central bank digital currencies.
So, oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he had that whole video breaking it down and saying that this is a good thing and that we would need to switch to digital currencies and basically touting everything else. The
CCP, I feel like this guy is like Indian Justin Trudeau.
He says he's a Hindu, but I mean,
that's Indian. Yeah.
I mean, that's Indian. Yeah. So it's normal, but he's not really acting like it in that case if he says he is. But anyway, that's just my own opinion on that one. This is really fascinating, though. Lindsay, can you pull up this next tweet? Rob, you can read this. About the,
Okay, so Leighton Woodhouse, on my Substack, establishment journalists respond to the Twitter files is that of a profession committed to protecting the state instead of exposing it. Yeah.
And actually scroll down a little bit on this tweet. I think I want to say, did Elon respond? Maybe not. But anyway, no, it wasn't this one. Sorry. It was another one I was thinking of. But that's
picture of Biden there.
Yeah. So it kind of is. So he basically just gets into how each media, like CNN, for example, you know, he's talking, they're like Elon's reckless tweets, like basically the same thing. You know, it's like when you really look at Trump's tweets, everyone was like upset, like how he was writing these and whatever, but it's like Trump was just trying to basically expose things. Elon is doing the same thing. And now the media is like going after him instead of, it's like they're going after him instead of going after what he's exposing. And they should be like, oh, what are you talking about? But it's like, yeah, you know, the media stopped being the media long ago once they, I don't know, started getting all the money pouring in. And the Epoch Times has a very in-depth article. It's very science-based and factual evidence saying that ivermectin is safe and effective. The evidence, and we don't have to break down this whole, this article is very, very heavy, but basically
look at this like little paragraph. Decades of use with nearly 4 billion doses to humans preceded recent use with COVID patients. From the chapter Ivermectin Sends COVID to Lockdown in my book The Defeat of COVID. That's crazy.
Yeah, and it basically gives examples of how ivermectin treated certain people with COVID and how they got better. And then the response to this on Twitter is pretty epic, actually, because so many people are like, there was a comment that said, my grandfather was in the hospital and we actually were able to get him ivermectin and we feel it saved his life. Some people were like, another family member died because we wanted ivermectin and the hospital refused to give it to us. So there was a lot of those comments, actually. And actually we can play this, Lindsay, if you want to show this a little bit.
Any drug. Ivermectin is a remarkable drug. You know, people poo-poo it, talk about it as horse dewormer. I mean, which is completely absurd. So if you had to design a drug for COVID, it would look exactly like ivermectin. It has all the properties that any drug would want. It's antiviral, so it works against a whole host of RNA viruses. This is indisputable. It is anti-inflammatory. We know this. There are multiple studies showing that ivermectin is a very powerful anti-inflammatory drug. We know that what it does is it stimulates a process called autophagy, which is very important in the process of healing. And it's one of the main mechanisms that we use to help patients get rid of spike protein. And ivermectin, believe it or not, stimulates autophagy. The other thing it does, which is important, is it changes, improves the microbiome. So we have all of these bacteria in our gut. And what happens is COVID and the vaccine changes your microbiome in a very unfavorable manner, very unfavorable. It causes profound changes in the microbiome. And this in itself has serious consequences. Ivermectin helps restore the microbiome. So it truly is a multifunctional drug, which is safe. And it works both for early COVID, and it also is very effective for the vaccine injured. So it really, and it's not, you know, we're not making money selling ivermectin. No one's going to make money. People ask, well, you know, you got a conflict of interest. Are you selling ivermectin? No. You know, this is a cheap generic drug. Exactly. The WHO actually had access to ivermectin at 2 cents a tablet, 2 cents. I mean, how can you possibly make money off such a cheap drug?
I love that.
Oh, man.
But it's so fascinating that he said this can also help people who had the vaccine.
Yeah, so, well, because of what it does and how it rebuilds things and stuff. Yeah. And it's antiviral, you know? I mean, that it just makes sense. Yeah. And it's sort of like the other one. It was like hydroxychloroquine or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the dirt cheap drugs that actually are super effective that no one can make money off of. I mean, it's just like that same old thing, is it's like, follow the money.
Yeah.
Like, why didn't people not understand that still to this day? Like, I mean, obviously, like, all COVID-19 was a gigantic marketing campaign for certain things to get a certain outcome. And it was all paid for by very specific entities that wanted to see something done.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people, man, you know, there are other things, there are agendas behind this too, right? We know that, but usually the biggest agenda is just lining a lot of people's pockets.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what it comes down to, and controlling the information. And, you know, it was all a conspiracy theory. No one's trying to control information. And it's like, Elon just blew the lid off that. I think Kim.com had like this really great tweet or something earlier. It was something to the extent of like, you know, Elon just spent $44 billion in like getting the truth out to the people or something like that, you know? So it's like, it's so true. But all right. And then let's just play this real quick. This is a short thing. This is where Elon is saying that almost every conspiracy theory about Twitter turned out to be true. It's so funny. Oh yeah, she found it. Yeah, Elon Musk is a whistleblower who paid $44 billion to share the truth about evildoers with the world. Such a generous gift. Thank you, Elon Musk.
Right?
Yeah, it's funny.
This is interesting. Yeah, when he says this.
I mean, to be totally frank, almost every conspiracy theory that people had about Twitter turned out to be true.
They're all like,
turned out to be true. So far, they've all turned out to be true, and if not, more true than people thought. I mean, to be totally frank, almost every conspiracy theory that people had about Twitter turned out to be true.
Oh, it's so funny. Makes you wonder what else the conspiracy theories are right about, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Edge of Wonder is going to be nightly news in the near future.
Yeah, seriously. Everything. I mean, man, we were really talking about all this stuff with the, you know, I don't know if we mentioned the FBI specifically, but we definitely mentioned three-letter agencies being influencing Twitter.
And, you know, I have to say, like, if you want to know more about the FBI, you got to listen to that. Like, anybody at home, like, you should just listen to that guy, Thomas Paine. he's super blackpilled, but he just has insiders in the FBI and he'll tell you everything he knows, like all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, unfortunately, he's not like his anger sometimes gets the best of him. So every once in a while, you know, you'll like say stuff and you're just like, OK, you've gone too far. But for the most part, like. That dude is like probably one of the most accurate guys out there. His real name is Michael Moore. See, it says copyright 22 Mike Moore. That's his actual name, but he calls himself Thomas Paine.
Hmm. Yeah, it's good stuff. Definitely. All right. Let's get into Dimitri now. This is more for the ridiculous.
This thread, the predictions of 2023.
Yeah. Okay. Oh my gosh. Go ahead.
This is weird. Okay. So first of all, okay, so Dmitry Medvedev or whatever is a Russian Russia government official. All right, that's what you need to know.
Yeah, he was the one that was arguing with Elon Musk for a little while.
Yeah, and here he says here, on behalf of United Russia and the Security Council, I extend my deepest condolences on the death of former Chinese President Jiang Zemin, the Antichrist. You guys have watched like our previous videos on this. He made a great contribution to building our strategic partnership. A friend of Russia who loved Russian culture, he'll never be forgotten. Now, what a lot of people don't really know is that Jiang Zemin was like the biggest traitor to China. And he like sold the Russians like millions and millions of acres of land, was a spy for the Russians in China, and then ended up taking over, like was deceitful enough to take over China and then screw everybody over in China as well.
Mm-hmm. He completely sold out China, even to the Japanese too. I mean, he was
like
spying for the Japanese, just
scum of the earth type guy, like mm-hmm. no human thoughts really. Yeah. You know,
just pure demonic
dude. But what's bizarre is like this Russian official guy talking about that like that. Like it, I don't know, like. Get a clue.
Yeah.
There he is. Good old Jay-Z.
Yeah, he's the one that we've talked about a lot. He's the one that just died in China, and he started the persecution of Falun Gong in 1999. And the underground Christians and Muslims and Uyghurs and Tibetans were all, every single one of those groups were all being, and Chinese people, petitioners in China, everybody was being that was the time when China was persecuting the groups more than any other time prior to that. I mean, Tibetans have always been persecuted and whatnot, but I mean, his reign was like horrible. He was just like eliminating anybody in China who basically had a different view of him.
Can you pull up the political legacy article here? Because this, if you guys want to read a little bit about this, this is pretty thorough. Is the Epoch Times wrote an article all about Jiang Zemin's political legacy and crimes and corruption and stuff. It's worth a read just to check this out. Like it really goes through pretty systematically, like everything that's going on with this guy. Look at that dumb photo of him, man.
What the heck is he doing reading?
He's got a magnifying glass and he's trying to read a document of like 24 point font and he can't even read it. Like those characters are
you could actually read it in a photo if I knew.
You could literally zoom into the photo and read better than like the guy's glasses are so thick.
Oh man, he probably had a lot of eye transplants, unfortunately.
Gosh, yeah. Man. So he was replacing his organs constantly. That guy. All right, and okay. Yeah. So now this Dmitry. Medvedev.
Yeah, this guy.
He had a pretty ridiculous thread about predictions of 2023.
He did.
And Elon, like,
epic thread.
An epic thread. And you'll understand why when we read through the thread. So, Okay, so we'll go one on one for this, Ben. So,
all right.
On the New Year's Eve, everybody's into making predictions. Many come up with futuristic hypotheses as if competing to single out the wildest and even most absurd ones. Here's our humble contribution. What can happen in 2023?
Humble contribution. Yeah. Number one, price of oil rise to $150 a barrel. Gas will top $5,000, or I'm sorry, top $5 per one cubic meters. The UK will rejoin the EU. EU will collapse after the UK's return. Euro will drop out of use as the former EU currency.
All right. Number four, Poland and Hungary will occupy western regions of the formerly existing Ukraine. Five, the Fourth Reich will be created, encompassing the territory of Germany and its satellites, Poland, the Baltic states, Czechoslovakia, I guess, Slovakia, the Kiev Republic, and other outcasts.
Oh, man. So he's talking about the Reich here. War will break out between France and the Fourth Reich. Europe will be divided, Poland repartitioned in the process. Northern Ireland will separate from the UK and join the Republic of Ireland. Oh gosh. This is the best one.
Okay, eight. Civil war will break out in the US, California and Texas becoming independent states as a result. Texas and Mexico will form an allied state. Elon Musk will win the presidential election in a number of states, which after the new civil wars end, will have been given to the GOP.
This is
outrageous. Like, Elon can't even run for president.
He can't. And the media is making it sound like he thinks he can win as president after, because he's like saying great thread here, you know?
Yeah.
Come on, you guys. Like, how can you not realize he's joking here, especially when since him and Dimitri and Elon have been having they haven't been getting along. Okay, number nine. All the largest stock markets and financial activity will leave the US and Europe and move over to Asia. Somehow, I highly doubt that's going to happen, but okay.
10, the Bretton Woods system of monetary management will collapse, leading to the IMF and World Bank crash. Euro and dollar will stop circulating as the global reserve currencies. Digital fiat currencies will be actively used instead.
Readers add context here. Oh, that's funny. Okay. That was it.
look at what are you smoking? Season's greetings to all of you Anglo-Saxon friends and their happily oinking piglets.
So stupid. Well, so because Elon was like great thread and obviously joking, Elon
he said
had
epic thread. Yeah.
Yeah. Epic. He had to explain. So you're, oh my God, Elon tweeted that he loves. So this is what, based on like, you know, quote unquote, oh my gosh, Elon tweeted that he loves Russia. And then they're saying like, no, you just tweeted that you have no sense of humor and poor reading comprehension.
That's true.
It's like, yeah, that's for the media. And then Elon, because of it, Elon had to like explain himself and say like, no, I don't think this is funny. I don't think any of these things have happened. And then everyone's responding to Elon like, why do you even have to explain yourself? Like, we all knew you were joking. Only like, you know, only the idiots knew that you were being serious, basically. So it's just kind of funny. But anyway. All right. Well, we are over on time and we still have a bunch of really ridiculous things from such as I identify as part dog.
Wait, you identify as part dog?
Someone does. Not me. So, all right. Rob, do you want to tell us more what we're going to find when we move over to Rise TV?
I can do that. So, okay. You guys, we're about to leave Rumble and head over to Rise.TV, where we'll explore the ridiculousness of the media and people on Twitter that you'll only hear on our private platform. You're not going to want to miss this hilarious conversation. So support our work and join us on Rise.tv for the new holiday price of just $7 a month when you get the yearly subscription. So you guys will get to ask us your questions during the live Q&A. And don't forget that your support lets us do these deep dives and bring you the truth that the censors don't want you to hear. Now, if you could, please check out this trailer and then join us on Rise.tv. We'd really appreciate your support.
Yeah. For example, they spent nearly $120,000 to see if Thanos could really snap his fingers. Our U.S. government paid
that, for that's a Babylon Bee like headline, right?
True
that,
story.
That happened.
That happened. We're going to get into that.
Okay.
Are inflation, cow farts, pandemics, pizza with pineapple, and the rise of AI, the truth about the moon landing, gas prices, and hollow earth theories keeping you up at night? Not anymore. Let your cares melt away with our unique patented streaming platform, Rise.tv. For the special holiday price of $7 a month.
Oh-ho!
In just minutes, you can get access to the platform that's changing a nation. No agendas. No censorship. No anger and targeting people. Amazing and inspiring shows like Edge of Wonder.
This episode may have some of the strangest information we found yet.
Man in America.
Geopolitics, history, but also faith. And where we are at this time in history.
And Chronicles of a Psychic Spy.
We work outside the construct of the physical to know things that otherwise can't be known.
All just oozing with entertainment.
The Hot Pepper Chip Challenge.
We will give you a place to not only hear the truth, but also be uplifted and entertained.
Cheers.
And you'll have a community to share it with. Don't miss this special offer.
Oh, the powder goes down your throat.
For the holidays, our yearly subscription is more than 25% off. That's just $7 a month. What a steal!
Good stuff. So, hey everyone, welcome to Rise. Oh man,